thank and praise you for another day that you've given to us here, Father, where we can come and worship you in spirit and in truth. I thank and praise you for the great God that you are. I thank you, Father, for your word and for everything that it stands upon and the things that's in there that you want us to learn about. And we just ask that we can continue to learn about your word and continue to learn about you, that we can get closer to you and that we can do the things you want us to do for you. Just as you wanted your children of of Israel that you picked there out, Lord, to do the things for you, we ask that we could do the things, even though they left you down. I know we do too, but we can continue to learn through the different situations of your word and the things of it. We ask for your help today. We ask that you would just help us and that you would just guide and direct. You know, Lord, we need your help. We depend upon you. We trust you to help us and to enlighten us in your word. So we hold that before you. We ask that with the service to follow, Father, the words of wisdom that you've given to the pastor to preach your word to us, we ask, Lord, that we could learn from it and that your spirit would just take full control there also and that you would just guide and direct in that situation also there, Father. Someone comes that's not saved, we ask that your spirit would just work in them and that they would get saved today. We hold this all before you, and we thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, as we've been going over here of training, a little bit of training your children, and this was just in the lesson that I'm bringing it out here right now for the men, and we'll be going through this here when we get to the children. And it'll be a lot more. So we're just kind of skimming over the top here right now. And as we went over, train your children in a Christian home and their spiritual training that goes along with it with worship and service. And then there was the character training that we had going over there. That's about setting rules for your children and give your children responsibilities around the house and supervising your children also. And now, as I said last week, we just started. We're going over train your children in a Christian home or in a Christian school. And I'm not talking just about a Christian school. I'm talking about also you homeschoolers at homeschool. This all is the same thing together here on this. Deuteronomy 6 and 7. If you want to turn there, that's where we're at. That's where we started. And he says here, and I'm going to start in verse 4. I'll read it for you. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words," these are the verses here now, 6 and 7, "and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." He's talking here about teaching them the word of God, teaching them the right things. And that's why it's important to have them being taught in a Christian school or being taught at home, that you can do these things. You can't do this in a public school today. None of this can be talked about in a public school. There's very, very, I don't even know, I can't even tell you that I've heard of anybody that even will do anything about it, because the Bible has been taken out of the Christian school, and there's just nothing, or a Christian, or the secular school, and there's nothing that a person can do to teach the children. They can't be taught the right things. There's just no way they can be taught the right things. So you got to teach it all to them, huh? Same way probably that you'd have to teach them about just all the aspects of religion if there was anything being taught in religion today, because you might offend somebody. That I understand that the way I hear. But the first thing here that we went over, it's scriptural. It is scriptural, and right here it is. You know, you're to teach them. You're to teach them. And it says, "In these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently." You're to teach them. We were going over some verses last week, and we didn't get them all finished off. So I'm going to start here, and we're going to finish these verses off first. Pastor, Proverbs 2, 10 to 12. Mrs. Codner, Proverbs 3, 1 to 3. Dan, Isaiah 51, 7. Cindy, Jeremiah 31, 33. And Corby, Colossians 3, 16. And we're all talking about this, that it's in the it's in the heart. It shall be in the heart.
Proverbs 2, 10, and 12. When wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from man that speaketh forward things.
You see what it delivers you from? The evil man. It delivers you from that. And it's put into your heart. Proverbs 3, 1 to 3.
My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart.
Solomon's telling there, he's saying, his son, forget not the law. He's to bind them up. He's trying to show them that. And Pastor preached on that verse or on that them scriptures last week, because right after that it tells you about trusting in the Lord, and that's what he talked about, trusting the Lord, being faithful, and all those kind of things. And that's what he's trying to show them there. Isaiah 51:7.
Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings.
Jeremiah 31:33.
But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people.
And Colossians 3:16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing with praise in the hearts of the Lord.
Here's my saying for the day. I didn't read it, but I wanted to wait for this here. If we don't teach our children who God is, someone else will teach them everything that He's not.
Vladimir Lenin, he said, you give me your children for 4 years, and I'll instill in things they'll never forget. And that was Lenin that said that. So there's truth to that. If we can just instill things in our children's heart, they're never going to forget it. Yeah, they might not always live by it, but they're not going to forget it. They'll come back to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's why it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Even if he does go away, you hear a lot of children that, you know, something happened that this came back to them. The things that they were taught, and they straighten out. I can't think of the guy's name. I just heard it on the radio of... He's a good evangelist, and his son went wayward, and he just kept after him and after him. I don't know whether I would do this, all the things that he was doing, but he just kept after him and after him. Tell him you're doing wrong. And he was out stealing. He was taking dope. He was drinking. Him and his buddies, they were just having a ball doing all this stuff. And his dad kept telling him, you know, did you know who that was, Cindy? Did you? Yes, that's right. Louis Plow. Yes. His son. Louis Plow, his son. He went wayward big time. And he was going quite a long time. And he was the one that was speaking on this. He was telling his story. It came back to him. It came back to him. He apologized to his dad. He got himself right. And I guess he's out preaching today himself just because of it. Damn. Oh, okay, yeah. Yep. So, you know, don't give up. I was telling Ben last week, don't give up on it. You know, you got to continue to do it. It says here that, and all these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Now, I wrote this down. I like this here, what this guy said. It says, where else can love be? If not in the heart, it exists not. And if these words be not in the heart, if they are not esteemed, prized, and received as a high and most glorious privilege, what hope is there that this love shall ever reign there? What hope is there? It's in the heart. You got it, it's in the heart. It comes out in from the heart. You know, everything comes from the heart. And you know, you got to indwell it in them. You got to, and that's the next thing here that we're going to be talking about. You got to, it's the teaching part of it here, and that's in verse 7 here. And he says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently." What's diligently mean? With steady application, care. With steady application, constantly, you know, teaching them. And that's why he's saying here. Moses here, he's setting these laws up and stuff, and he's telling them, teach them diligently unto thy children. He says, you're constantly teaching them. Because he tells it here, he gives the different things here that you're supposed to, when to teach them. He says, teach the children diligently, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You're teaching them these things. And teach here means, or each of these three things here that he talks about here, there's three things that he talks about, and that's teaching them in the house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou settest up. The things here that he's teaching them, it means to whet or sharpen. And whet here means H-E-T means rubbing to sharpen, you know, rubbing to sharpen. You gotta, maybe sometimes you rub them the wrong way, teaching them. But, hey, you got to teach them. And the whole idea of it is you're imprinting it into their memory for the rest of their life. There was some questions asked that, you know, how can I get my kids how can I teach my kids so that they will teach from generation to generation to generation to generation? Put it into their memory, imprint it into their memory, and they'll pass it on. You've got to have it put into their memory. It's got to be sharpened. It's got to be there. You have to teach them constantly, all the time. Let's read some verses here first, and then I'm going to go over this here. Deuteronomy 4:9. Van, Deuteronomy 11:19. Elizabeth, Psalm 78:4-6. And Charles, Ephesians 6:4. Let me see. I guess I have one more here. Danny, Luke 6:45. Yes, go ahead.
And you teaching is more than just verbalizing instruction. It's a way of life. And kids have to see that in every walk, every step you take. And that's a challenge because the world's against you. But I would also add, don't be discouraged when your kids, if your kids make comments hearing or, you know, rejecting what you're saying, because that's going to come too. There's, you know, it's, and you just have to accept that, but don't give up. Be diligent. Don't give up.
That's right.
Be encouraged. You know, I believe that if they're challenging you, they're thinking about what you're saying. And you know, sometimes they're rejecting you.
Right, exactly right. That's good. You just got to keep doing it, keep after it. Deuteronomy 4:9.
Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the thing
depart from thy heart all thy days of thy life, but teach them thy son and thy son's son.
Just keep on teaching. Teach thy sons and thy son's sons. Grandparents. There's no reason why you can't teach your grandchildren. Same principle here. If your kids get upset because you're teaching, yeah, there's some things, yes, you can't do. But there's teaching them the Word of God, that you taught your kids the Word of God, there's no reason that they should get upset with you for you teaching them. So that's one thing that you can do, grandparents. You can teach them. Help to teach them, you know. Teach them the Word of God. Teach them the things. Show them the things. My wife had just an incident just lately with two granddaughters. And she just set the one down, you know, and told her, you know, you think that God would be happy with you by doing this, you know, and telling her, you know, things about God and things about the Word of God and stuff. And she says, no, you know, and they know, you know, they know. So just help out, teach them, you know. We're going to be talking about discipline, and, you know, it's one of the things with discipline, you know, teach them the Word of God, you know, and train them in that. That's part of it, you know. You can help out. It's just what that verse there said, you know, the sons, teaching the sons' sons, you know, keeping on going. You can teach them. You can help to train them. You can help to do that. And they shouldn't get upset over something like that. Some things, yes, they can get upset with, and I agree with them, and I can understand that. But, you know, teaching the Word of God, they shouldn't get upset over something like that. Deuteronomy 11:19.
And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
There's two times just in Deuteronomy that Moses said that. You think he's trying to get something across to these people? I think he is. You know, he wants them to teach their children. You know, that's why he's setting these laws up, that God wanted him to set these laws up, and that's why he's setting them up. He wants them to teach them about the laws of God, that they can pass it on and keep it on going. Psalm 78:4-6. There he's saying about, you know, that it's being brought up to their children. You know, I was thinking, and I just wonder, and I'll bet you, if you would go over there right now and talk to anyone that's in Israel, they've heard about these things. Somewhere along the line, they've had to have heard about what their great-great-grandparents and et cetera, what they went through coming from Egypt, you know, the things that they that went on down there, and then how they got out of there. How they wandered in the wilderness, how the laws were set up. I'm sure they know it. Somewhere along the line, somebody has taught them. They've heard it. Even though that right now that they're kind of on God's backhand, they've heard it, and I'm sure they have. And if they haven't, I think they will, you know, because with the temple being set back up and stuff, that they're going to know the law and the different aspects of it. So, you know, It's something, you know, to keep on, you know, teaching them these different aspects and different things. Ephesians 6. Oh, go ahead.
Even here in the United States, they have a co-worker whose daughter-in-law is Jewish, and they have little children. None of them are in school yet, and they started Hebrew school when they were 2 years old. They are being taught from the time they're two.
So there you go. I mean, that's something that you can see there that they're doing. You know, why can't we? We have the Word of God. We can teach it to them. Ephesians 6:4.
And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
We went over that verse, and there you see. Teach them. Teach them in the admonition of the Lord. Luke 6:45.
A good man. Evil For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh.
There you go. You got the good stuff that comes out, and you got the evil stuff that comes out. And it, where did it say that it came from? Out of the abundance of the heart. What's being taught? What's being taught to them? What are you teaching them? He says here that the things here that he says here that you're supposed to do and teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them. You're to talk of them. You know, he says, when thou sittest in thine house. I like this. I like these things I wrote down here. Thou shalt have religion at home as well as in the temple and tabernacle. You bring your children to church. They hear it here. They need to be hearing it at home. That's what he says there. When thou sittest in thy house, you're teaching it to them in their house, in the house. He says, when thou walkest by the way, thou shalt be religious abroad as well as at home, not be ashamed to own God wheresoever thou art. How are you at work, gentlemen? This is about you. How are you at work? Are you as religious at work as you are at home? Do the guys know that there's something different about you? I was telling you about a guy that we met down in Allentown. He's young saved, and he's on fire. And believe me, everybody down there knows him because he witnesses to everybody, even the white hats. He told us some stories about the white hats. I shared with some of you guys about that. He said some of them were giving him a rough time, and all he did was turned it over to the Lord and prayed and asked the Lord that he would help him to do whatever it took to, you know, to help these guys out. He said 2 weeks later, they were fired. White hats, fired. Because some guy just decided he was standing up for the Lord and he was just asking the Lord to do whatever. Don't tell me. Don't tell me God didn't have something in on it.
As a mom, even going out in the public, sometimes that's your greater teaching opportunity because they're seeing things that aren't right. And so that's when I find, okay, they just saw that, let's talk about it. You know, because those are things that we don't do. And it's getting their eyes adjusted to the world because they don't see that at home, but they're going to be in that world someday. Ready to face that.
Teach them about the world. If you, like I said, if you don't, somebody else is going to. So you got to teach them about the world. They're going to be out here in the world. You know, you can't protect them all their life. You can't do that. And some people think that they can do that, and they can't do it because they're going to be out here in the world. You got to teach them about the world and the different aspects of it and everything about it. And sin, about sin, the sin of the world, the evilness of it, and all that kind of things. You have to teach them about it. Because if you don't, like I said, somebody else is going to. So you're to teach them when thou sittest at the house. You're to teach them when thou walkest by the way. And then when thou sittest down and when thou risest up. This guy said, thou shalt begin the day with the Lord and end the day with the Lord. And thus religion will be the great business of thy life. Oh, how good these sayings, but how little regarded. You know, so very good. You know, I like that. That's why I wrote it down. I like that. Start out the day with the Lord, end the day with the Lord. You know, I start out early in the morning reading my Bible. That's the first thing. I get up early. It doesn't matter. If I'm going to work, I make sure that I get up in enough of time that I can read the Word. That's when I read mine. I enjoy that. That's my time. Everybody does it different, and it's fine. You know, I'm just telling you that's how I do it. You know, and ending the day the same way. You know, I'm laying in bed there and I'm talking to the Lord. You know, so start a day out when thou risest up and when thou sittest down. And teach that to your children too. gentlemen, you have to teach that to your children. Same thing. How are they going to know? How will they know? God's people are commanded to teach their children God's word diligently and consistently. It's impossible to obey this commandment if you put your children in a government school whereby judicial degree, the Bible as God's word has been banned from the classroom. How true. How true. How they can't be taught that. You know, I respect anybody that puts their kids in a Christian school. I respect anybody that is teaching their kids at home. We did both. You know, both things happened with us. And like I say, you know, the word of God has been banned from the classroom. Now, I got to thinking about this. If this word is what everybody says that it's not, why is it banned from schools? Why is it that somebody wants to take it and make another version of it and take words out and take meanings away from this word? Why do they want to do that, you know, if this word isn't true? This is God's word. This is true. This is something true. Satan's all behind all this stuff. And he knows it's the truth. So what's he do? He uses these people out here. Oh, get it out of the school. Hey, they've been working for years. I don't know if they'll get it through. Of course they'll probably get it through sooner or later. They want to take "In God We Trust" off of your dollar bills and all your money and stuff like that. They've been working at that for a long time. "In God We Trust." That's all that it says. "In God We Trust." And they want to take it off. What is it? Why? Why? Because there is a true God. That's what our word tells us. And that's what we believe. You know, why are they after? Why would they be after you? Someone that speaks up, someone that does know the word of God. I was told some different aspects of some things here of just an incident that just happened recently. I don't want to mention it or anything like that there, but I found out that the people had to go to the court and stuff like that. But I understand that the judge and the other lawyers and stuff were against them because why? They were Christians. They spoke up the word of God. And so, what do? They rule against them just because of it. Just because of that. So don't tell me that this word, that like the world teaches you out here, that this word is not true. If it's not true, then why do they mess with it? You know, why do they mess with it? Why do they take it out of the schools? You know, why does the government and all the things that they do? You see, this is all sensible. The whole thing, it's sensible. It makes sense because it's the word of God. It's true. And okay, go ahead. Oh, yeah.
When I was in school, and I know to some people that's a long time ago, but when I was in school, I probably could not sit here and list to you all of the teachers that I had who were Christians. And when I was in 9th or 10th grade, a Christian school was started locally, and I really wanted to go. And my parents and my pastor talked and said, "No, you stay where you are. You are doing fine." And I was, and I was really disappointed. Now I'm thankful that I was left there. But one of those Christian teachers said to me, "What if you are taking the salt and the light out of this school, and instead of Christian parents getting involved and getting on the school board and standing up, what I believe happened is they retreated to Christian schools. And that's why the public schools are where they are now."
Yep, I can't disagree with that. You know, that's basically what happened, you know, around the country. The churches got tired of it, so what did the churches do? Started a Christian school, you know. And then they'd have, and a lot of them started them in their own churches till they, you know, build up to where they could, you know, have a building and things like that there. That's exactly what happened, you know, exactly what happened. Well, as we see this here, and As we go over this here, you know, that was the second thing here. It's sensible. And the first part of this here is an unbelieving teacher can weaken your child's faith. And how true that is. How true that that is. Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19:27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. You got to teach your kids to beware of things that's being taught out here. Go against it. Go away from it. Whatever. Whatever it is. You know, an unbelieving teacher can weaken your child's faith. I was thinking about this. I had to ask Chad about it. He went through this. He was up Penn State here, and he started to go to Penn State up here, and he was going through some classes. And I think the professor asked, "What upsets you?" Is that what it was? He says, "I want you to write a paper. What upsets you?" And Chad wrote in his paper about he was sick and tired of cussing and swearing. That's what upsets him. And he said the professor would be cussing and swearing in the class. So guess what happened? The professor writes a little note on his paper about it, and then the professor says about it in class, trying to put him down, you know, because of it. But I guess he backed off. Why did he back off? Did you say or didn't you say? You don't know why he backed off.
Let's put it this way, he didn't want to believe and offend anybody, is what he said.
So there you go. You see what happens with a teacher? These teachers, you know, you got to watch. You got to watch with them. You know, they're going to take somebody like your child, and they're going to ask them all kinds of questions, and maybe your child can't answer it. But maybe your child can answer it, and they won't let them. And if the child comes home to you and says something to you about it, you know, they know that then the teacher's going to be really out for them, so they're not going to say nothing to you sometimes. They'll just keep it into themselves. So it's one of them things where you've got to be very careful on this whole situation of that these teachers can weaken your child's faith. You know, they've got to be, if they go to, if you put your kid in a public school, and I have nothing against it, you better be teaching them, though, constantly, all the time, where to stand, how to stand, you know, and everything that's going to happen and take place for them. They've got to be strong. They've got to be someone that's strong, because the teacher can weaken them, and there's another one here that we're going to be going over that can weaken them, too. It's the crowd that's around them and stuff all the time. But first of all, we're talking about the teacher here that can weaken them. Let me see. Let's read some more verses here. Mrs. Johnson, Proverbs 14:7. Pam, Deuteronomy 13:1-4. Amy, 1 Kings 22:20-28. That's 1 Kings 22:20-28. And Chad, 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. Molly, Ephesians 4:14. Can you read? Okay, go ahead. 1 Timothy 4:7. Gary, 1 Timothy 6:3-5. Charlene, 2 Peter 2:1-2. And Ron, 1 John 4:1. That's good right there. We'll stop there then. Go ahead when you have that first one. Proverbs 14:7. Deuteronomy 13:1-4.
If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, speak with a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him.
You see that? You're to walk away from it. You're to stay away from it. He said, and he was pointing that out. God's trying to prove the guy, but still, he's trying to see how strong you are, you know, and you're to walk away from it. You're not to listen to it, to that prophet. You know, let's go after other gods. No. You know, walk away from it. You know, don't, there's no sense in even arguing with that person. Just walk away from it. They don't know it anyhow. They won't know it. The word of God says, you know, that someone that's unsaved, they don't understand it. They won't understand God's word because the Spirit of God is not in them. Look at that thing that just went on with that their debate. Ken Hammond, who was that other guy? That Dipper Duff, huh?
Bill Nye.
That Bill Nye doesn't know nothing because the Spirit of God isn't in him. He's going to fight. He's going to argue. It doesn't matter what it is, you know. There's no sense in even talking to somebody like that because they don't understand it. They're going to go with their thing anyhow. I told my wife, I said, that guy's wacko. I said, he has to be wacko, you know, not to go against God like that. Wait till he closes his eyes and they put him 6 foot under. He'll find out. Then we'll see. They don't see. But then it's too late. It's too late then. They just don't understand. So why even argue with them? That's the way I look at it. Okay, Amy, 1 Kings 22, 20 to 28. Now listen to this. This is pretty good here.
And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahaz that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also. Go forth, and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets. And the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah, the son of Chenaana, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek, and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back unto Amon, and the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with bread of affliction, and with water of affliction, until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you.
There you got a prophet that the king didn't want to talk to. Jehoshaphat went up to fight with Ahab. And Jehoshaphat, he's wanting to hear from somebody. You know, he heard from all these other prophets. He wanted to hear of a true prophet of God. And Micaiah was the guy. And you heard there what happened. Old Ahab, he brought me. I don't, you know, before, if you read beforehand there, Ahab saying, you know, he goes against me in everything that I say, you know. And so he feels that he's against him, you know, and so. Yeah, because he's speaking the truth. And he didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to hear the truth. And here he is, he's brought before him, and he tells him there, and you know, and he says, he's feeding him the bread of affliction and the water of affliction, you know, and when I come back, we'll see about it. That's what he's basically trying to say there. And Micaiah says, you ain't going to see me anymore, because you're not coming back, and he didn't want to believe it. Well, you read the next verses there, Ahab was shot, he's done for, you know. And then Jehoshaphat, you know, he gets out of there. He's leaving because of the way Ahab did it, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But don't, you know, the thing is, you know, you can't listen to somebody like that. An unbelieving teacher can weaken your child's faith, just like air. you know, Micaiah, he knew what was right. But the rest of them, you know, no, he's not, you know, he's not a God, prophet of God. Damn, there you go. You can see just exactly what happens. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15.
Such are false prophets, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Be careful what you hear out here, gentlemen. You heard that? Satan's ministers can become for righteousness, but it's a lie. So watch what you hear. Listen when you listen to it. Do what the pastor tells you to do. He keeps repeating it. He's trying to get something sunk in our heads. Check it out with the Word of God. If it's not the Word of God, it's false. You know, check the truth out. Let me see the next one here. Ephesians 4:14. Cunning craftiness. There you go. There's the devil. 1 Timothy 4:7.
Refuse profane and old wives' tales, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness.
1 Timothy 6:3-5.
Betty man, teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words.
Second Peter 2:1-2.
But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious way, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be.
1 John 4:1.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world.
And 2 John 1:10 says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. And so we see here that, you know, what can happen with a teacher that can weaken your child's faith. Here's something else I wrote down that someone said. It says, one of the most deadliest pearls to which the young are exposed is false doctrine in respect to the principles of religion and morals. It meets them everywhere, in unprincipled associates, public teachers of error, and corrupt publications. Without constant vigilance and prayerfulness, they cannot escape its fatal influence. I like that because he put in there public school teachers also, you know. So this is something that like I said, a teacher can, you know, they can question your children. They can give them a rough time. You know, they can do the things that you don't want them to do. So that's why I say if your child does go there, you've got to really teach them diligently, day and night, you know, about the Word of God and what to stand for, what they need to do there with these things when they do come to them. I got to quit there. Questions or comments? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you now for this time. We thank you, Father, for your Word. Thank you, Father, for the different aspects of it here. And it does show us here, Father, who we're to follow, and that's you, and who we're not to follow, and that's the world out here. And how they can definitely make it bad, but help us to teach our children these right things also there, Father, and that they can teach their children and their children's and their children as it goes on down the line. We praise and thank you for it all now. In your name we pray. Amen.